You know, sometimes you wonder if you're making a difference in people's lives or if the church is effective at all. And then you begin to realize that it's when we invest ourselves. You know, it's truly investing yourself. It's getting out there and realizing that love calls for an investment of me. Okay? It calls for me to give and to give again and give again and give again and not expect anything back. Okay? And today, we lit our third candle. And I think it's just kind of neat because it's a beautiful progression there of the different heights of the candles. And I wondered how it was going to look with two of them being lit today. But with having a little bit of separation in the lighting of them, they're all at different heights. And I'm reminded that that's where we all are. And that's where our lives are. We are all over the place, coming at different vantage points into life and into the light of Jesus Christ. And today, as we lit the candle of love, I thought to myself, what on earth does John the Baptist's birth have to do with love? So I began to study it because I thought, you know, what does John have to do with love? John prepared a way. John was just simply a man who lived in the world and ate and died. You know, for heaven's sakes, he was beheaded, the poor guy. Gave his everything. How does that speak of love? And then God took me on a wonderful journey. And he showed me three types of love that come out of the message of John. You see, for over 400 years, God had been completely silent. Not a word was heard from God from the time of Elisha. Or Ezekiel, excuse me, when the Spirit of the Lord left the temple because God forsook Israel. God divorced Israel. And not a word was heard. No prophet spoke a word of God for 400 years. Now I want you to think about that. When was the last time we had a word from God? A true word from God. Now, we all read the Bible when God speaks to us, right? But has God added anything more to this book in 2,000 years? For 2,000 years, God has been silent. Those people waited 400 years. And in those 400 years, they went from a citizenry of total captivity and their entire world being turned upside down because they had forsook God, and God drove them out of the land, and he's tore the temple down to the point of rebuilding it and having a smaller temple with a semblance of what it used to look like. But Israel never regained its power. Israel never became a country again until 1949, when Israel was given its land back after a six-day war. They took their land back. And I want you to think about this, because here is a people who now are oppressed on every side. They're pressed down, they're crushed, they're being beaten, and they have no idea what God's doing. It's as if he's abandoned them. And then all of a sudden, one man is given a vision. One man, 400 years after the glory of God has left Israel, is given a vision. And guess what God does to him? Shuts him up because he wouldn't believe it. So here this guy is, 400 years, God hasn't spoken. All of a sudden an angel shows up, speaks to him the word of glory that God is coming and your son is going to prepare the way for him. And he says, what? I'm an old man. How can that happen? And the angel says, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of the Lord all day. And because you have not believed me, you will not speak a word until it comes to pass. Think about that. The prophet, waiting to hear from God, hears from God and says, can't be. But God speaks for the first time in 400 years. And what's the first thing he hears, right? Can't be. What do you think is going to happen in our day after 2,000 years of silence, when the heavens open and glory is revealed and the King of Kings comes riding on a white horse? It says the word will come forth from his mouth as a sword, tearing asunder the nations. They're all going to scream, "It can't be!" But God says it is. Because you see, in that revelation, God spoke to Israel three very real realities. For 400 years, he was silent. And God spoke to Israel because God remembered them. God remembered them. God showed his love to them because he remembered them. Here's a people who rejected him. Here's a people who said, "We don't want to follow your ways. We're going to worship all the gods of this world. We're going to do what we want. We're going to live fat and happy. And we're not going to care about what your regulations tell us." Does it sound any different from our world today? Absolutely not. But God remembered them. And he sent word to Zechariah. You can tell who my favorite prophets are, can't you? I keep remembering the majors and faulting on the minors. But Zechariah was given the word of God, a lowly man, an old man in his old age, that the Son of God was coming. Because God remembered Israel. He remembered the promises to the patriarchs. He remembered them and he loved them. And then God sent his love in a second manner, because God showed his love for his son by making the world ready to receive him. I want you to think about this. At the time of John, there was a turmoil throughout the land. Most of the people in Israel were not worshiping any longer, okay? They were coming and doing their sacrifices. They were arguing over spirits and over the law. That's, you know what that means. That's the Sadducees and the Pharisees, okay? The Pharisees were the legalists. They were the people who truly believed that you had to follow the letter of the law, but they completely devoided themselves of the spirit of the law. And then you had the Sadducees. And the Sadducees completely devoided themselves of all things religious because they wanted to encapsulate the cultures of the world. What do we have in our world today? We have Pharisees and we have Sadducees. We are the same people. Is it any wonder God's taken 2,000 years to speak to us? Well, the reality is, during those 2,000 years, God was showing his love for Israel because he was remembering the promises. For 400 years, he was working out everything he had already said. You know, one of the things about us people, we have to fill the space with words, don't we? Preachers are good at that. Give me a topic and I can talk for 2 hours. Don't give me a topic and I can talk for 8. But isn't that what we do? We simply fill the space with words. God said, "I'm not going to fill it with words. I've already spoken. Now I'm going to bring it to pass. And you're going to see that I am God." And that's exactly what he did. He didn't need to speak anymore. When God came in the form of Jesus Christ, he came in the fullness thereof. There was nothing more to speak after that. Yes, the apostles filled the rest of it in because he told them that they would. But he came, he revealed himself, and he has given us the final authority, the word, sealed. And today, if you were in Sunday school, we were reminded of what it says at the very end of the book. Don't add anything to it and don't take anything away from it. Because God, for 2,000 years, has been working out everything he's already said. He doesn't need to speak anymore. We don't want him to speak anymore. And you know, that may sound stupid coming from a pastor, but let me ask you this. When he speaks next time, what's he going to say? He's going to bring judgment. Are you ready for that? I'm not. I want to live in the light of grace, in the light of hope, in the light of peace, in the light of love, in the light of joy. Because in that, He's calling us to Him. He's giving us, the people of this world, and again, this is the love that He has for us, that while we were in our wilderness, God was calling to us. Just as the people of Israel were in their wilderness, God sent a voice into that wilderness, into that darkness, to speak of the coming light, and that was John. So God showed His love to these people in three different ways. First, that He remembered them. Second, that He loved His Son and was preparing a way for Him, that the world needed to be ready to see and hear Him. Is the world today ready to see and hear the Lord? Absolutely not. But that's where we're supposed to be that light. We're to be that voice in the wilderness, calling out, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." Because when He comes next time, He's not going to come as a baby. He's not going to come as a Savior. He's going to come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and judgment will be in His hand. We need to be that voice calling into the wilderness today. We need to be the love of God reaching out into our world, snatching people right from the flames. That's the book of Jude. Are we doing that? Here we are at Christmas, and how many of us concern ourselves with how many tellers are going to say to me, "Happy Holidays," and how many are going to tell me, "Merry Christmas"? And if they don't tell me Merry Christmas, well, I'm going to tell them Merry Christmas. What's that all about? You know, it amazes me, because I actually have conversations like that with people as a pastor. Well, they wouldn't say Merry Christmas to me, so I did. Big deal. Do you believe it? Then act like it. Be the light of the world. Be the love of God to those people. Listen to their problems. The last time I said Merry Christmas to a woman at Walmart, she looked at me and said, "Oh, what's so merry about it?" And the people behind me waited 5 minutes to check out. She opened the door, I walked in. When darkness shows its face, light your candle and burn it bright. That's why you're there. God put you there for a reason, just as He put John in the wilderness to show the love, to prepare the way for the people. So too has God put us in this world to prepare the way for His Son who is coming. And He's not coming as a baby. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He is coming with His reward in His hand. And may we join Him in that throng. The love of God, the third candle, is a very powerful candle. It's the candle that truly, truly blesses us all. We have hope, because He told us it was coming. We have peace, because Jesus is the way. We have love, because He remembered us. And He has prepared a way for His Son, whom He loves even more than us, but yet gave Him up for us. And He loves us too by being a voice calling in the wilderness. I hate to ask you this, but I want you to examine your heart right now. How many of you have barren land in your hearts? How many of us have a wilderness that we are scarce to even speak of it? That's the place where God wants to go. Because you see, He says, in that wilderness, He will bring forth springs of living water, and He will turn the desert into a garden. And that's what He wants from you, that you can then take that gift and give it to others. That's the love of God. That's the light of the world shining in a dark place. And the next candle that we lit today was the candle of joy. And I thought to myself, I said, wow, you know, God, you're really showing me some neat things about yourself and about these people in these situations. And it's kind of neat because when you're bringing a baby into the world, that's supposed to be a joyful time, isn't it? When you're getting married, that's supposed to be a joyful time, isn't it? How joyful was it for Joseph and Mary? Mary was stressed out, don't you think, ladies? Think about it. Miss Amy's sitting over there. Big yes. Big yes. You betcha. Ladies, you're a single woman living 2,000 years ago, and to be found pregnant without a husband was a death sentence. And God says to this dear young woman, you're going to give birth to a son. And he's going to be my son. And they will call him Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. And she says, all right! She trembled and said, how can this be? And the Lord says, my Holy Spirit will overshadow you and will come unto you, and these things will be as I have said. And she receives it, knowing full well that her husband betrothed is going to have to deal with this, but trusting and believing God to be able to take care of it in a very real way. Now let me ask you something, guys. How would you feel if your wife that you've never been with comes up to you just before your wedding and says, honey, I'm pregnant. We're going to do cartwheels, right? Right out the door. There was not a lot of joy in the confrontation of these things. But as people began to realize and receive from God the reality of what God was doing in their lives and for the world, there was an overwhelming joy. I mean, think about it. Joseph was going to divorce Mary. He was going to take her aside quietly as an honorable man and divorce her quietly, give her a decree of divorce and put her aside that, you know, she wouldn't be stoned. I mean, he was going to be gracious about it, right? But God spoke to him in a dream, and he said, this child that is to be born is going to be my son, and you're going to raise him. Now, guys, let me ask you a question. How hard is it to raise a child? It's not easy, is it? I've only had to raise one. Praise Jesus. And he turned out pretty well. Praise Jesus. At least thus far. Praise Jesus. Mom's over there picking on him right now. But it's difficult, isn't it? Now, I didn't have to raise a girl, so I don't know what it's like to raise a girl, but I married one. I don't want to raise one. I think of Wayne, who is in a household of all women, even the dogs are female. He is drowning in a sea of estrogen. He's the island of testosterone. And he's going bald, is it any wonder?
That's why I have a cane. That's...
But it's difficult. And I want you to think about this. Here's this man, Joseph. Now he's got questions. You know, it's supposed to be one of the most joyous times of his life. And his wife tells him she's pregnant. And then she says, and it's the Son of God. She's not only pregnant, she's nuts. I'm being real, aren't I? Where's the joy? The joy comes when we meet God face to face. Do you catch it? The joy comes when we meet God in the midst of our stuff, in the midst of our darkness. God comes in and turns it all to light. He says, no, you don't understand. In your darkness, you're travailing this thing. Let me show you what's here. I have told this. I have prophesied this, that my son was going to come. How did you think he was going to come? He's coming as a babe. He has to. And you're going to get to raise him, Joseph. Now let me ask you guys. It's tough enough raising your own kid. How would you feel about raising God's kid? The Son of God. How do I handle that? How do I, a mere man, raise the Son of God to be a good person? We can't do that. We're not good people ourselves. But yet God says, I choose you. And folks, that's exactly what he says to you. He wants to choose you to raise up other children of God. Do you hear me? We are told that we need to come as children. And boy, it's going to be tough. But when we bring into our reality the light of God and allow him to shine through us and we touch another human being, we allow that child-like faith to come out. And a child of God has been born right there in front of us. And now it's our responsibility as a church to raise up everyone. As a pastor, do you realize that's one of my greatest prayers? That I not fail you as the shepherd of this flock. That I raise you well. That I teach you the word of God. Because I don't have the words of life. All I have in me is my flesh and my sin. But God has chosen me and I cling to him. And he says, now let my light shine through you as a conduit. Be my example to these people. Love them, love them, love them, love them. And that's what God's asking you to do to this world. To go out and bring in a child of God. To go out and receive from him the blessing that at first is going to seem horrible and terrible and there's no joy in it. There can't be. This is going to be a lot of work. How am I ever going to accomplish this? But when we meet God face to face and allow him to come into that equation, he fills our lives with joy. I can walk around this room and point to many of you that I know well. And I can tell you the struggles over the past years that I've helped walk with you. And then I can also tell you where I've seen you grow and how I've seen the glory of the Lord blossom before you and in you. Now, does that mean we're all there yet? Absolutely not. Pastor's still growing. There's a lot of thorns on this rose. And God's going to prune it. And he's going to make it grow. And as he allows me to grow, I mean, I'm still doing that. I'm getting my master's. Going well, by the way. But as I do that, I'm to deliver those messages unto you. To prepare the church. Just as John prepared the people to receive the Lord. And then it's your job to go out and prepare a people. You see, it doesn't start here and end here. It just starts here. And then the light continues to grow. Because somebody out there needs to know the hope that we have. That they may find that inner peace. And from that inner peace, know the love of God. And then come to joy. Do you see how it works? We all know the acronym JOY, right? Jesus, others, and yourself. When we get it right, the light of Christ begins to shine and it grows. And the neat thing is, a whole nother set of candles gets lit. And a whole nother set of candles gets lit. And before long, the light of the world is truly shining. So this Christmas, I want you to think on these deep things. Just what is hope? What is peace? What is love? And what is joy? No. Let's rephrase that question. Who is hope? Who is peace? Who is love? And who is joy? Would you pray with me this day? Oh, gracious God, our Father, we come before you with true open hearts. And Lord, as we have come to see again, anew, the light of Christ within us, Lord, may you help us to cast out the darkness of fear and ignorance and to take that light into a world that needs it so much. And Lord, even into ourselves, to be changed to the very core, to open up those places of wilderness to you. Not that you will harm us, Lord, but that you will bring those desolate places to be a garden of joy and peace and hope and love. Lord, we thank you for your Son, and we prepare ourselves to receive that gift once again. As Lord, you're coming. We don't know the when, but we know you're coming. And in that coming, Lord, you will receive us to you first. And then, truly, Christmas will be forever. For Emmanuel will be among us. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.